Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show today. Abortionists want 50% of their victims to be racially diverse. You heard that sentence correctly. Abortionists want DEI quotas. Abortionists want their baby victims to be black and brown babies, not too many white babies. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that headline up to hook you into listening to the whole show. That's a real headline. That's a real story. Marjorie Taylor Greene just hosted a hearing on March 19th with special guests David DeLayden and Teresa Bukovanac, who are pro-life heroes, exposing some of the Joseph Mengele Nazi-esque things happening at the University of Pittsburgh, happening with the burning of baby body victims, happening with DEI in the abortion industry. Stories that are going to shock you and hopefully wake up America before it's too late. Buckle up. Let's get into it. I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show. So abortionists want 50% of their abortions to be racial minorities. Abortionists want half of their abortions to be racially diverse, to meet DEI quotas. Yeah, DEI quotas. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Yeah. Did you know the abortion industry wants DEI too? They want DEI to be reflected in the limbs of their victims on a table that they're reassembling when they rebuild the pieces of the child that they tore apart to make sure that there's no pieces left floating in mom's uterus. We want to show that our HR department is really diverse too. What in the world? Yes. All right, have you heard this story yet? Marjorie Taylor Greene, say what you will about her. Thank God for the courage of this woman. Marjorie Taylor Greene very recently hosted a hearing, okay, on the black market of baby organ harvesting. And some new bombshells came out that are like, I don't have the language to describe that. You understand? Like, that's why the Seth Gruber Show, we're going to go deeper and we're going to think deeper than any other show that you'll find. I hope, toot my own horn, but whatever. Because some of these things, the headlines, the stories we're hearing in our crazy, kooky, demented, perverted culture of death, you're like, I don't have a category for that. Am I the only one that's felt like this in the last few years in America? Like, I don't even have a category or a box to put that into my head. Abortionists who have already been accused for being part of an industry that Sanger helped to develop through the Negro Project, which said that the massive Negroes, particularly in the South, are still breeding carelessly and disastrously, with the result that the increase among Negroes, even more than among whites, is from that portion of the population least intelligent and fit. Yeah, they're already being criticized for being part of a racist industry because the abortion industry kills more black lives every 2 weeks than the KKK lynched in a century, therefore keeping the black population under replacement rate. So in 70 years, if nothing changes, you're going to have to go to the Smithsonian to see a black person. You already get accused of that. And then you say, I want 50% of my abortions to be DEI. I don't have, do we even have categories to think through that anymore? I hope so. And I'm not being sensational to rile you up into a frenzy. This is the real story. We're going to get to that a little later in the show. But if you're like a black market of baby organ harvesting, Seth, what is that? If you're newer to the pro-life fight, let me remind you, okay, that this hearing she did on March 19th, is re-examining a problem that's been here for a while. Okay, none of this is new. Yes, 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 yes. Slicing aborted children open to harvest their organs to sell to the highest bidder so they can allegedly use it to find solutions to staph infections and diseases and so usher us in to the progressive humanist eternal life that science will create for us. We don't need Christ on the cross for eternal life. We can defeat death through Joseph Mengele Nazi-esque experiments on babies and DNA editing on little children and embryos that get killed so we can just like get rid of like bad things in our DNA code. Like, so make sure I don't get cancer, right? Have better skin care. Make sure I live longer. It's like, whoa, what the heck? This has been around for a while, guys. And so she hosted David DeLayden, the name you should know, of the Center for Medical Progress, who back in 2015... And now you remember, right? The famous undercover Planned Parenthood meetings at like over wine and lunch and Planned Parenthood events, right? And all this stuff. David DeLayden posing as a procurement company of fetal organs and fetal tissue. So he gets these meetings with Planned Parenthood high-ranking senior officials, not just one-off people. He gets people at individual branches, but he also gets like corporates, like Planned Parenthood corporate senior officials, admitting that they like sell babies. They sell their aborted babies and their organs, like cadavers and, you know, and organs and spleen and you know, all the, it's like genitals, like, oh, what the? And by the way, this breaks federal law. But David DeLayden is now like, what's his lawsuit up to now? Like $20 million from Planned Parenthood? Okay, so you just need to know that this March 19th, Marjorie Taylor Greene hearing of black organ baby harvesting, it's like, this goes back quite a while, actually. David DeLayden exposed it in 2015, but it had been happening for a long time before that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene hosted Teresa Bukovanac. Teresa Bukovanac is a progressive, pro-trans, pro-gay, anti-marriage, LGBTQ, LMNOP supporting, atheist, vegan, pro-life activist. And we've dialogued. I mean, you know, we're friendly. A credit to her. Like, I love it. I love that she's a voice for the unborn. You know, unfortunately, I think she's kind of still part of an ideology and worldview that actually manufactured the abortion mindset in the first place, because it all goes together. But praise God that she's a voice for the unborn. And she was behind the Justice for the Five, the DC Sergi Abortion Center, right before Roe v. Wade got overturned, with 115 babies that the waste management driver gave the pro-lifers. And then Teresa called my friend AJ Hurley, who's now my national coordinator of activism at the White Rose Resistance. And AJ and his wife came and they unboxed the children. Five of them were full term. Some of them showed evidence of partial birth abortion. Okay. So Marjorie Taylor Greene hosts these two people. Now, remember, when David DeLayden exposed all this in 2015, Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California. She raided his apartment and stole hundreds of hours of footage. By the way, Planned Parenthood was lining her pockets with campaign donations at the time. And so David DeLayden is the only undercover journalist in California history to be criminally prosecuted for undercover reporting that exposed criminal behavior. Let me say that again. It's kind of crazy. He's the only undercover journalist in California history to be criminally prosecuted for undercover journalism that actually showed and proved criminal behavior. Meaning they were breaking the law. Let me prove it to you, by the way. Okay. Here's the code, 42 U.S. Code 289G2. Quote, it shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly acquire, receive, or otherwise transfer any human fetal tissues for valuable consideration. What's valuable consideration? It means financially benefiting from it. This is important because allowing for profit to be made off of the exchange or sale of fetal tissue creates an incentive to make more of it. Duh. and you can only get body parts from them, the babies, by killing them in the womb, right? So it creates an incentive for the market. You understand what I'm saying? So that there, I mean, Planned Parenthood is breaking federal law, and David DeLayden was not, after all these court hearing stuff, because he's been being sued for years, was not allowed to release any more of his undercover recordings of Planned Parenthood officials by court order. But what if a member of Congress released it? And what if he was subpoenaed by a member of Congress to release the footage? Please, cut this clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene, okay? Keep it up. Subpoena David DeLayden and demand that he release all of the footage that he has backup drives for, that Kamala Harris, our current vice president, who's the first vice president to visit a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic to stand in solidarity with the Baal Moloch worshipers and baby killers, when she was California Attorney General, stole all the footage and raided his apartment. Subpoena David DeLayden in order to release all of the footage that we know there's more of. Marjorie Taylor Greene, please. I met you at the Delta Sky Lounge one time at the Ronald Reagan Airport with my son. You're awesome. Do this. Help us fight back. We know there's more footage. Thank you, David DeLayden. Thank you, Teresa Bukovanac. Thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So, David DeLayden was able to play some clips at this hearing that I had not seen before. I think some of them were new that he was able to, because it was a court hearing and is now into the congressional record, but he couldn't have otherwise. Brilliant. We need to do more of that. Okay, so a lot of what's exposed has to do with the University of Pittsburgh. I'm going to get into it in more in just a second here. But this whole, like, abortionists want DEI. We want our aborted babies to be black and brown babies, at least 50% of them. It's like, racist. Okay. Like, we're going to get to that in just a second. But a lot of this revolves around the University of Pittsburgh and what David delighted in, some new disgusting demonic bombshells that's all documented what's been happening in the baby black market organ harvesting industry. So a quick primer on the University of Pittsburgh and my book coming out this summer, The 1916 Project, is going to have some interesting bombshells about all this as well. The University of Pittsburgh submitted a grant application to NIH in 2016. That's the National Institutes of Health. It was being run by Francis Collins at the time, who you'll recall I've talked about on the show with John Harris and others, Rick Warren, Tim Keller, Ed Stetzer, David French and Russell Moore seem to have a man crush on Francis Collins. They have yet to call out any of his Joseph Mengele Nazi-esque kind of crimes because they're hirelings. They're, to quote my friend Megan Basham, they're evangelicals for hire. To quote my friend John Harris, they're not Christian leaders, they're institutional managers. Anyways, Francis Collins, who used evangelicalism to spread COVID propaganda, he was leading the NIH, and the University of Pittsburgh submitted a grant application in 2016 to the NIH to become the national distribution hub for late-term aborted baby kidneys to NIH projects all around the country. In other words, the University of Pittsburgh says, we want the grant and the funding from the NIH to get all the dead baby organ kidneys and stuff and to give them back to NIH projects. We have a picture here I want to show you of kind of some of the evil that started happening as the University of Pittsburgh became the premier provider of slicing up baby organs and selling them for experiments. In 2020, okay, and here's the picture. In 2020, late-term aborted baby scalps were grafted onto lab rats at the University of Pittsburgh. The aborted baby, let me say that again, okay. Oh, by the way, guess who provided the funding for this? Fauci and Collins. Anthony Fauci and his boss, Francis Collins of the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. So NIH and then Fauci's National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, provided funding to the University of Pittsburgh for this. They were literally aborting babies in the second and third trimester and scalping them like some Elizabeth Warren Indian warlord and grafting them onto lab rats. And I have the pictures of infant human hair growing on the backs of lab rats. That's the hair of the baby that should have been being held in the arms of their precious mother as their hair was growing, but instead their hair's on a lab rat, on a humanized mice. And this was allegedly to find cures to staph infections, because humanized mice, you nuke the immune system of the mouse, and then you introduce like fetal organs, right, or fetal scalps. So it has aspects of human DNA now, so you can see how it responds to like, you know, experiments for cures to staph infection, things like that. So the baby just becomes a sacrifice for man's pursuit of eternal life. But the aborted babies were obtained from the Maggie Women's of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. The Maggie Women's Hospital, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, is literally the university's hospital. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. University of Pittsburgh wasn't even buying these aborted babies from a local Planned Parenthood, although we're going to find out that like it's Planned Parenthood physicians who are working at the University of Pittsburgh. But the University of Pittsburgh is murdering babies in their own hospital and then taking them fresh and on ice over to their own humanized mice organ harvesting lab. It's all the University of Pittsburgh. The heck? So it's literally the university's hospital murdering the babies and then delivering them to the university's fetal tissue bank. So David DeLeiden exposes, we have a couple clips at the end of this episode, okay? But you should go watch it on Marjorie Taylor Greene's YouTube channel. He says the abortion services and the abortion training program at the University of Pittsburgh are run by Planned Parenthood abortion providers. So this is taxpayer-funded Planned Parenthood abortion doctors running the abortion services for both the University of Pittsburgh Maggie Women's Hospital and supplying the fetal body parts to the NIH, being led by Francis Collins at the time, who Rick Warren and Tim Keller and Russell Moore and Ed Stetzer, the dean at Talbot Biola's flagship seminary, think is the greatest gift to mankind for fetal scalp experiments. And then FOIA documentation, you know, Freedom of Information Act, obtained by the Center for Medical Progress, has revealed that the NIH emails with research officials admitting that the University of Pittsburgh, okay, is under investigation by the HHS Office of Inspector General, investigating their tissue bank. So this is the HHS, Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, that they were investigating the tissue bank at the University of Pittsburgh, but that there had been no public update of what the Office of the Inspector General has discovered. In other words, they knew there was probably federal law being broken. They knew that probably abortions and how they're performed were being adjusted to make sure that the baby was as intact as possible when it was delivered dead, so that the organs weren't spoiled and so that they could be harvested and sold and they could turn a profit first on killing the baby, secondly on selling the pieces of the baby. Like, all of this is proven, guys, okay? You're not a tin hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Okay, so FOIA documentation got by the Center for Medical Progress, by our hero David DeLeiden, showing NIH emails with research officials talking about how the University of Pittsburgh is under investigation by the HHS Office of the Inspector General, but no updates been given. Oh, I wonder why. I have the answer for you today on the Seth Gruber Show. Before we get to that, we want to thank our sponsor, Every Life Diaper. Every Life Diaper is America's pro-life diaper company. I mean, come on, guys. This is so easy. This is so easy. This is why we love them. And it was launched by my friend Sarah Gable Seifert and her husband Michael Seifert of Public Square, right? The new economy, the new marketplace. If you want to defeat a culture of death, you've got to subsidize and fund a culture of life, okay? So all eight major baby brands rhetorically or financially support the abortion industry. Blah, can't make that up. We want more babies to sell more diapers, but we also want you to kill unborn babies because we're pro-abortion, so we sell less diapers. That doesn't make any sense except by a culture of death. Everylife.com, your nursery at your church, your local pregnancy resource center. You, if you've got kids or grandkids, why would you get your diapers anywhere else? Me and my family get our diapers from Every Life Diaper. Everylife.com, promo code Seth10, Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Please let them know that we sent you so they know that we sent you. Seth10, Seth10, Everylife.com, America's pro-life diaper company. Go support them. So, is this surprising that while the HHS is, has been investigating the University of Pittsburgh for fetal organ harvesting and fetal tissue research, but no update's been given? Oh, I wonder why. Yeah, guess who the director of the NIH is? I'm sorry, of the HHS is. The emails were showing that between NIH saying that University of Pittsburgh was being investigated by HHS. Guess who the director of the HHS is? Xavier Becerra, who literally became California Attorney General after Kamala Harris was California Attorney General and continued her prosecution of David DeLeiden in the Center for Medical Progress for exposing the black market of baby organ harvesting between Planned Parenthood and labs that buy the pieces and parts of the victims that Planned Parenthood killed in Northern California. Yeah, conflict of interest much? Xavier Becerra, who was my attorney general in California, who took over that job for Kamala Harris, is now the director of HHS. I wonder why we haven't been given an update about the HHS investigation into the University of Pittsburgh. Xavier Becerra has been running cover for Planned Parenthood and the baby organ trafficking industry since 2017, 2018. Okay, so federal government won't investigate honestly and report on crimes because they have something to hide. Did you know this? They have something to hide. Judicial Watch uncovered emails in 2021 between FDA, Federal Drug Administration, and ABR. ABR is Advanced Bioscience Resources. Guess who was the lab that David DeLeiden exposed for procuring and buying baby parts and organs of children killed by Planned Parenthood? ABR. Advanced Bioscience Resources is the lab in Northern California that was buying the baby parts from Planned Parenthood that David DeLeiden exposed in 2015. So Judicial Watch, FOIA, emails 2021 between FDA, federal government, and ABR, Advanced Bioscience Resources. The Federalist reported on it at the time and said, these emails uncovered by Judicial Watch between FDA employees and the California-based ABR prove the agency spent tens of thousands of dollars buying aborted babies from unethical scientific experiments between 2012. That's 3 years before David DeLeiden drops the Center for Medical Progress undercover reporting videos. And 2018. In 2018, the Trump administration terminated the contract halting government fetal tissues research due to concerns that the contracts were unlawful. Judicial Watch's new FOIA request adds 575 pages of records to its existing 2019 lawsuit against the agency. So, the Federalist paper goes on. This article says, one of the oldest fetal tissue procurement firms, ABR, the company makes millions every year by harvesting organs like lungs, livers, eyeballs, and brains from aborted babies and reselling them at a profit. Emails between FDA officials and Advanced Bioscience Resources ABR employees reveal conversations as they collaborate to buy and sell aborted fetuses. The records indicate that ABR was paid $12,000 upfront per baby. Okay, stop. We're selling aborted children on the black market up to 12 grand a child. ABR was paid 12 grand upfront per baby, some survivable out of the womb. Now, human life and a right to life is not dependent on your ability to survive outside the womb. You have a right to life because you're a human being, for goodness sake. But it's like more grisly and gnarly when the child's like big enough that it can survive outside the womb. So some of these were gestational ages of up to 24 weeks. And most purchases in the emails from Judicial Watch that they received, okay, were for intact thymuses and livers. So this is the FDA, the federal government, paying 12 grand a baby pop to ABR in Northern California, wanting thymuses and livers, and the FDA, our federal government, requested those babies, quote, fresh and on ice. Fresh and on ice. No, it's not an old-fashioned or a Manhattan. It's a child. And we have the emails indicting our federal government into buying fetal organs, breaking federal law. Oh, I wonder why the HHS, being led by Xavier Becerra, the former Attorney General of California, is not giving us a report on their investigation of the University of Pittsburgh, funded by Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci at the applause of Rick Warren, as they're chopping up the heads of third trimester babies and putting them on lab rats, because they have something to hide. Well, that's the background that I felt was important for you to know. Now, I want to play you two clips from the Marjorie Taylor Greene hearing on March 19th with David DeLeiden and Teresa Bukovanak. Love what this woman's doing. So grateful for her bold leadership in a weak GOP. What did I tell you at the beginning of the show? Abortionists want 50% of their abortions to be racial minorities. Yes, that's right. Abortionists celebrate DEI quotas too by murdering racially diverse babies. And the University of Pittsburgh proposal that we have, thanks to the Center for Medical Progress and David DeLeiden, exposes something truly, truly disgusting. Play clip.
Documents also showed that Pitt's proposal further included a racial target for harvesting of human fetal parts. Of its planned aborted subjects, Pitt desired 50% to be minority fetuses. The proposal suggests that subjects be diverse and be of an appropriate racial mix because Pittsburgh is diverse. So they wanted the babies that were killed and their fetal parts that they had harvested to be reflective of Pittsburgh's diversity. But however, the numbers say otherwise. It's really interesting. If you look up the U.S. Census Bureau, shows that Pittsburgh is close to 70% white. So why would they want a 50% minority sampling of baby organs and baby parts that had been aborted when Pittsburgh is about 70% white? Make this make sense. It makes no sense at all to me.
It's one of the most distressing parts of this grant application. And it's I don't know if it's possible to understand it, but the University of Pittsburgh, as basically a diversity and inclusion bonus or benefit of its grant proposal, advertised to the NIH that a benefit of its of the way that it was going to execute on this grant proposal was that it was going to disproportionately target minority women and infants for its late-term aborted baby kidney harvesting program. It's extremely distressing.
It's repulsive.
I don't know how David DeLeiden, we've interacted a few times. Good guy. I don't know how he remains so composed there. If I was at a hearing like this, I'd be going full podcast Seth. I'd be losing my freaking mind. Do you understand what he just said? We have the documents showing that the University of Pittsburgh is submitting a grant. Do you know what a grant is? It's money. to the NIH for a grant. Hey, here's our proposal for money so we can do more Joseph Mengele experiments. We really want the money. Hey, here's our proposal. Here's a perk. Let me incentivize you, NIH, as to why you should give me more money to do fetal organ baby harvesting experiments. We're going to make sure it's DEI stamp approved. We're going to make sure that the diversity, equity, inclusion that the liberal establishment cares so much about and this federal government is reflected in the babies we murder. Do you understand what that means? Goodness gracious. But Marjorie Taylor Greene says, wait a second, Pittsburgh is 70% white. And the grant proposal by the University of Pittsburgh says that they want their work to be reflective of the racial diversity of Pittsburgh. But no, you actually want more black people murdered through your abortions than reside as a percentage in the city of Pittsburgh. Seth, help me understand this. I was told that the pro-choice movement wasn't Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood teaming up in 2020? Wasn't Cecile Richards, when she left Planned Parenthood, co-founding an organization called Supermajority with Alicia Garza, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter? I thought Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry was all about black lives. Yeah, they are about black lives, but only in a certain way, not in the way you're thinking about it, which is why Planned Parenthood launched the Negro Project in 1939. The Negro Project. I read the proposal at the beginning of the show. They said the massive Negroes, particularly in the South, are still breeding carelessly and disastrously. Oh gosh, we don't want too many black people having kids. And then a certain Negro Project director who was on the payroll for Sanger at the American Birth Control League before she renamed it Planned Parenthood, a Negro Project director said, there is a great danger that we will fail because the Negroes think that this is a plan for their extermination. Hence, let's appear to let the colored run it. In other words, they were saying we're propagandizing birth control in black enclaves, like almost exclusively, because Sanger said that birth control is not contraception thoughtlessly and indiscriminately practiced. It means the cultivation and release of the better racial elements in our society. So she admitted that birth control was a way to improve the better racial elements. And she said, quote, and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds, which threatened the blossoming of the finest flowers of American civilization. So for her, birth control was not a way to help poor black and brown women plan their parenthood. It was to actually control the births of the segments of the population that she called the morons and the misfits, the unfit, the undesirables, that she didn't want having too many kids. And so she had a Negro Project director admitting, oh gosh, there's a danger that we will fail because the Negroes that we're trying to propagandize with birth control, they think it's a plan for their extermination. So let's let black people run the project so they think they're in charge of it, so they won't know what we're really up to. Okay, I only scratched the surface. This has a long history. Oh, abortion industry wants to disproportionately target black people? I wonder where that came from. It's literally what Planned Parenthood was birthed to do. Are you kidding me? So that's that, okay? That's an aspect of liberal modernity, right? Because they can no longer care about the virtues that created this society, because those virtues are a byproduct of Christianity and Western civilization. So new virtues always surface when the old way is tossed out, Judeo-Christian worldview. Everyone has virtues, right? They might actually be vices, but they call them virtues, right? The things that ground and order their life, the expression of their deeply held beliefs or religion. In our 21st century, seemingly post-Christian society, it's DEIESG, right? It's Mother Gaia. It's a demon. It's the Mother Earth. But by the way, one of Margaret Sanger's favorite magazines was called Mother Earth. In the early 1900s, the magazine was called Mother Earth, by Emma Goldman, a famous anarchist who was a real influence on Margaret Sanger. Worship Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, the environmentalist movement, right? Climate change, climate catastrophe, the population bomb. Too many people on planet Earth. You're reproducing too much, so it's harming the environment. So there's not enough resources, and so it's you're to blame. You need to stop having kids, right? For the sake of Mother Gaia and planet Earth, like that's ESG, environmental social governance, and then the S is DEI, social diversity, equity, inclusion in your HR department. So when United Airlines, who has a CEO who's literally a drag queen, comes out and says, we want to hire more black people, then the priority is not how well you fly the plane, it's the melanin of the person flying the plane, right? This whole diversity, equity, inclusion crap. Now the abortion industry is saying, we want DEI too. We just want it to be reflected in the blood and bodies of the race of the children on a table after we mutilated them. Welcome to the culture of death. What the heck? Thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene and David DeLeiden. But remember, the other guest Marjorie Taylor Greene had is Teresa Bukovinac, who was, I told you, receiving the aborted babies from a waste management, medical waste management driver company in DC right before Roe v. Wade got overturned. And the driver didn't know that he was picking up aborted babies. He just thought it was a surgical center, like not baby killing. And so he gave them the babies for a respectful burial. And then they unboxed them. And then one of my employees and best friends, AJ Hurley, was there with his wife to unbox the babies. Okay. That's almost never happened in the pro-life movement because they want to protect their victims, meaning not let them reach the light of day so America doesn't wake up and see the crimes of the abortion industry. So we're going to play this last clip before we end the episode today because you need to share this episode. Like this is a kind of grisly evil stuff that is so wicked and in your face because people don't have a category for it. Even pro-choice moderates who are not like, they're not like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, grandmother of the abortion industry. But they're not like, they're not like me. They're not ready to ban it, but they're somewhere in the middle. These are the kind of stories that those people who are kind of reasonable to some extent, they've been washed away in the streams of liberal ideology. This is the kind of stuff that can change their minds because they're like, oh my gosh, that's so wicked and evil. I don't have a category for that. Maybe there's a deeper evil and war being raged, and maybe I need to rethink some of my philosophical and political assumptions. Yes, please share this episode with your pro-choice friends. Will you do that for me today? Really important. This stuff is so vile. So what is the story? Here's a clip talking about burning the bodies of children to fund the electrical grid. I'm not kidding.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about the Curtis Bay Medical Waste Company. Now, you had stated earlier in your testimony that when you found this box, the truck that was picking up the box in the pictures you showed said Curtis Bay Medical Waste, and it also said energy. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So Curtis Bay operates an incinerator in the Baltimore area, and that incinerator creates renewable energy for the city. They recently, since this discovery, have been fined more than $1 million for illegally burning medical waste. My understanding is that the law in Maryland prevents them from burning certain types of medical waste, fetal remains being explicitly one of those. But they've been caught breaking those rules multiple times. They're supposed to burn everything that they're burning until it is ash, but they were just burning it halfway and doing it for profit.
Philosopher Leon Cass coined a term. He said, it's the wisdom of repugnance. The wisdom of repugnance, meaning when you have a guttural reaction, like, I don't know, ew, oh my gosh, what the, that there's probably wisdom in that guttural, repugnant response that you didn't even try to trigger in yourself. That was repugnant. Almost every pro-choicer you know, who's like moderate, they're not like third trimester, but they're whatever. Oh, you're moderate on killing babies. I know that's not the best way to describe it, but you know what I mean. Sees that and goes, that's repugnant. They just know it's wrong. You're saying that they pick up the bodies of aborted babies and they take them to Baltimore, Maryland at Curtis Bay Energy and they burn them for electric. They burn them to power the electrical grid. In hell, Joseph Mengele blushes. In hell, Mengele blushes. What? We are ripe for judgment, my friends. We are ripe for judgment. Thank you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, David DeLeiden, Teresa Bukovinac, AJ Hurley, for unboxing those babies and exposing that to the world. That is what we're dealing with. That's the dark side. That's the dark underbelly of the American culture of death that is seemingly in the corners, under the surface. Not impacting your life yet. Not inconveniencing your way of life and comfort yet, but it will one day. And the longer you tolerate this kind of evil in America, the sooner you will come to find that that evil one day will knock at your door. Mm-hmm. The culture of death and the ideologies that empower it will one day knock on your door. And we will have to reconcile with the evil that we were apathetic towards and made peace with for so long. Share this episode, will you, with your pro-choice friends? Jeez Louise. Abortionists want 50% of their victims to be black and brown, and we're burning the bodies of aborted babies to power the electrical grid of our cities. Sentences I never thought that I would have to say. Stories I never thought I would have to cover. But here we are. The only question is, what will you do about it? You can join the White Rose Resistance. Go to thewhiterose.life, become an ally. If you join at $35 a month, you get our donor community of training, courses, curriculum, live calls with me, a resistance box. $70 a month, you get our book club. We just read Killer Angel by Dr. George Grant. It's a biography on Margaret Sanger. We're reading some exciting, dark, important books to understand our culture. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar, they understood the times they lived in, so they knew what Israel should do. I want you to understand the times you live in, so you know what the people of God ought to do, to be a leader spiritually, politically, and culturally in your community, in your city, in your small group, with your friends and family members, to stand for righteousness and to be salty again at the local level, which is how we change the culture, by the way, when we all do that together at the same time. Join the White Rose Resistance. Go to thewhiterose.life. We have an exclusive pro-life masterclass coming out this spring, available to you first and only for you. Although we'll sell it, but it's not free. It's for you guys who support us. Go to thewhiterose.life. Subscribe at YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Rumble. Go to Rumble really quick. Find Seth Gruber. Subscribe for whenever YouTube digitally assassinates me. Subscribe at YouTube. Hit the notifications bell so you don't forget. Okay? Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday. Share these episodes. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Way more people are seeing the show. We want to drive it up the charts. We appreciate your help. Share the dark underbelly of the culture of death that we exposed in this episode today. And until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show.